This is The Record on KUOW Seattle. I'm Bill Radke. If I ask you for the Seattle visionaries who have shaped the tech world, I know you could name Bill Gates and Paul Allen, Jeff Bezos. Our next guest says if you don't put Leroy Hood's name in that list, you're missing something. Luke Timmerman has written the new book, Hood, Trailblazer of the Genomics Age. He tells you why Leroy Hood is in the pantheon of Seattle innovators.
Well, Lee Hood really burst onto the scene in the early 90s here in Seattle when he was brought to the University of Washington by none other than Bill Gates with a $12 million gift to establish a new Department of Molecular Biotechnology, they called it at the time. And Hood was well known in biology at that time for leading the team at Caltech that developed the first automated DNA sequencing machine.
Automated DNA sequencing machine. It's a big deal. Why?
That is the tool that made the Human Genome Project possible. Before that came along, people sequenced DNA by hand in the lab. Graduate students would spend their entire career, 4 or 5 years of study, just trying to determine the sequence of one gene that does one thing in the cell, like make insulin. Say, and suddenly you could cast a much wider net. You could determine the entire order of all of those bits of DNA that make us who we are.
Well, that sounds just like the march of technology. Everything gets faster and easier. So why is Leroy Hood so important to that?
Well, he really spearheaded that drive to automate the tools of biology. And with that came the ability to ask bigger, broader questions to gather new kinds of data. So suddenly you could determine the sequence of you or me and see what makes us different. And before, that was just beyond what anybody could even dream of. And now it's routine sort of things that people do in the lab. You can sequence an entire genome in a day.
Doing work like that at greater volume and faster sounds inevitable. So what was so visionary about Leroy Hood when it comes to sequencing our genome?
Well, the funny thing is, biology in those days, in the 70s and 80s, had kind of an anti-technology bias.
Really?
Yeah. It was unlike other fields of science, like chemistry or physics, where it's understood that if you develop some powerful new tool, well, that will open up new frontiers in science. But biology was still kind of stuck in its ways, looking at things through the microscope, and people were afraid that this would be disruptive. And Hood was among this small group of leaders in biology who said, no, we really need to embrace technology and modernize and become much more ambitious in how we do our work.
Is that cautiousness on the part of biology because mixing biology and technology is inherently spooky and weird and dangerous seeming?
Well, that concern has always been there. People have worried about the misuse of genetic data for discriminatory purposes. And Hood is the eternal optimist. So he is pro-technology. And when things have come out at various stages, like when he was coming to the University of Washington, Jurassic Park was the big deal.
Uh-huh.
And that dystopian future of misuse of genetic engineering. And he would always try to engage with people and explain in the simplest terms that those sorts of fears were overblown and could be managed with proper oversight. And that's something he continues to deal with today.
Okay, so Leroy Hood was a giant in the early 90s. And then I remember that announcement, Leroy Hood is coming to Seattle. Why did he come here?
Essentially, he wanted to pursue an ambitious new agenda for more tool development, more technology in biology, beyond just the DNA sequencer. And the University of Washington was an ambitious public university that wanted to get into the genomics kind of game and saw him as this world-class biologist who could attract money and other star scientists and really put the university on the map in a big way in this emerging field of science.
It sounded like a pivot point for the University of Washington.
It was. And Bill Gates, at the time, he was in his mid-30s, and he was still very actively engaged in Microsoft and solely focused there. He had never done any sort of philanthropy, and people had been trying to encourage him to support local causes, various causes. And this was the one that captivated his imagination once he personally met Hood, and they hit it off. Here was a character who was blazing a trail in biology, and Gates immediately saw the computational possibilities that eventually you could sort of digitize that genetic data and then let computers do what they do best with it, which is analyze data.
But Gates didn't hire Leroy Hood. Why did he want to put him at great cost at the University of Washington?
Well, Hood was still very much an academic scientist, so pushing the frontiers of knowledge is who he is at the core. Now, Hood also had lots of ideas for how to apply some of those ideas in the business world. Maybe one of these projects that he worked on at some point would spin out into a company, and other people could then run with it and build it and manage it. And that was all part of the package when Hood came to Seattle. People saw him as the sort of guy who could be a spark plug for the biotech industry, which was really just getting started here in Seattle at the time.
Hood only lasted 8 years at University of Washington before forming a company in Seattle. Why did that switch happen?
Well, he left to start his own nonprofit research institute, which then did spin out companies. But that was a long, drawn-out, messy divorce, as I say in the book. And there's a lot of behind-the-scenes administrative battles and bureaucratic turf fights that occurred between he and particularly the dean of the medical school, Paul Ramsey. And Hood had this new vision for what he called systems biology. And this would essentially connect things that occur at the deepest molecular level of the cell all the way up through like whole networks of how genes and cells communicate. It was a very ambitious, kind of unprecedented idea, really, at the time. And it required that he tear down some walls within the academy and build his own fiefdom, I guess you could say. And not everybody at the university wanted to go along with that. Hood found it hard to coexist inside the traditional university structure. And it was painful and at times personal. There was some animosity there. And that sort of story, like people have talked about that or they've rumored about it, but this has never been reported before in such detail as I was able to uncover here with the documentary record.
How has genomics turned out to be life-changing, if it has? What is the most important thing about genomics, those advances?
I'd say right now genomics is in a very exciting time of information gathering. That is, we are learning so much and learning so many things at warp speed, really, about what makes human beings human, what leads us into diseased pathways, all kinds of other plants and other animal species, for that matter, bacteria, how we coexist with bacteria. It's an explosion of knowledge. Now, the Human Genome Project and some of the genomics scientists out there have at times overpromised that they've sort of implied and even said explicitly that we will get personalized medicine almost right around the corner. And that hasn't happened.
Go take a test, and that test will tell you how you ought to live your life, eat, you know, vitamins, things you ought to worry about, right?
That's right. And we're not there yet. The science is going to take a long, long time to sort through all of those variables that go into making a person healthy or diseased, that delicate dance between genetics and the environment that we live in. So there has been some overpromising, but that shouldn't take away from the genuine excitement, the fact that we can now peer into what used to be a black box. There's never been a better time for biology.
Let's talk about what Leroy Hood has meant to the Seattle area. If he had not come here, what would we be missing?
Oh, that's a great question. Sort of the missing man theory. he really is this force of personality. He's a very charismatic individual. So brilliant, intense, charismatic. He attracts resources and talented young people to come carry out his visions and serves as a catalyst. He starts things. He started this venture capital-backed incubator in town that's spun out a dozen companies. He's got his institute, which has a couple hundred people working there. He does influential science that other people cite in their peer-reviewed publications. He is a dynamo. And you know, although now he's getting older, he's 78 years old, even then he still has a new startup in town that's raised a good amount of money, Aravail, that's got this idea for scientific wellness. So he's a remarkable individual. He's complicated. He's flawed in some respects. That, I think, comes through in the book as well. My hope is that by telling that story of a character that you can really get interested in. I think almost anybody can get interested in this kind of character. People like to read about people. And
Steve Jobs comes to mind.
Very much so. So if you read the Steve Jobs book, you will not only learn about a fascinating and complicated character, good and bad, but you will also learn a lot about the development of technology over the last 30, 40 years. And a similar concept is at work here. By getting engaged in the story of this complicated individual, you will stay with me, I hope, when we get through some of the more sciencey parts.
That book is called Hood, Trailblazer of the Genomics Age. Luke Timmerman is the author and also founder of the Timmerman Report, which covers the biotech industry. Luke will be at the University Bookstore on November 7th, that's this coming Monday evening.